School is in session with Basketball U. Welcome to your study time for the world of college hoops. Now, here are your professors, Tyler Rocky and Shane Orley on ESPN 1000.
Good morning and welcome on in and happy round of 32 Saturday. Tyler Rocky, Shane Norling, it's Basketball U on ESPN 1000. We talk college hoops with you all throughout the tournament. It's all brought to you by Riverfront Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram, and buy at riverfront.com. And I'm jealous of both of you today because both of you guys have a game day today. You've got UNC and Michigan State, Kansas and Gonzaga. Good games today, too, by the way. But I'm jealous of both of you.
Yeah, brand name games. How about that? Michigan State, North Carolina.
That feels like those four teams, that feels like it was a Final Four one year.
I wonder if it was. I'm trying to think through. It would have been 09. I think that's the only time Michigan State. And, let's see.
What about 2019?
No, last time Michigan State made the Final Four, it was with Texas Tech.
That's right. That's right.
And Virginia
and Nova?
Auburn.
It was Auburn, yeah. But yeah, I'm jealous of both of you guys today. I have to sit on the sidelines. You guys are all game dayed up for today. I walk in and Potsy goes, game day.
It's not what it's
game day.
It doesn't say much to me. It just goes, game day.
He and I have different approaches to this.
Yeah.
He's excited. True. He's amped. I just know I'm going to be hurting. And like, well, Matt's not my forte at this hour of the morning, but around 6:30 tonight, I'm going to be hurt. Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
See, the way I look at it, I know this Jayhawk team isn't the best team we've had in the past. So, dude, this could be our last game of the season. So, you know, I'm excited to see the Jayhawks take the four today, hopefully take down Gonzaga, even though we're underdogs. I'm excited, man. I believe a 2:10 tip, rock chalk.
It's got to be nice to have that kind of relationship with sports. It could be
a positive one?
Our last game today. I'm just excited to watch the fellas get out there and play. Boy, I would love to have that relationship with my teams. Holy smokes, that just seems way better than what I go through on a day-to-day basis. I'm like, I can't. This game could hold off for as long as possible. I have no interest in sitting down and watching my team tonight. I hate them, but I want them to win more than anything in the world.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. The duality of man right here between Potsy and Shane Norling. Getting through what we've seen in the tournament so far, I thought the first day of the tournament was as perfect a day of tournament basketball as you could get for the opening days of the NCAA tournament. Yep. You had a couple of big upsets, but nothing was too crazy. Like, you had Oakland over Kentucky as your premier one. You had Duquesne over BYU. Then everything else was just kind of par for the course. You had some good games. You had a colossal letdown in Nevada Dayton. But, like, you pushed your blue bloods through. You pushed some of your top seeds through. And I thought overall it was good. And when I look back at last year's tournament, and I enjoyed the hell out of last year's tournament, but I don't know if the casual college basketball fan enjoyed the end of last year's tournament when you have the Final Four that you had last season, where it's a lot of non-brand names and UConn. I think you're not going to get as much of that this year in the tournament because, sure, Kentucky's been bounced already, but you still have UConn. You still have Carolina. You still have Duke. You still have Michigan State. You still have big-time programs. You still have Kansas. You still have really big-time programs left in this tournament. And sure, some of them could get wiped out today, but I think there is longevity for this tournament, and we are going to get a really good Final Four this year, just based off of what we've seen through the first 2 days.
I think we're way more likely to get it than a year ago. Like, I don't think there's going to be an FAU run. I don't think there's going to be a San Diego State run in this tournament. I'm thinking that we're going to kind of end up with a higher seed Final Four, like UConn. Boy, Houston. You know, we talked about this off the air last night. Something I miss that was nice to see yesterday.
Yeah.
was Houston and UConn just absolutely taking care of business.
Just dog walking their opponent.
They look good. They look really good.
There is something special, and it's been missing for a while because the 16-1 happened twice in however many years, 7 years or whatever.
I'll say it. I hate the 16-1 upset. I hate it.
Really?
I hate it.
I think it's hysterical when it happens to Purdue.
It's funny. Like, don't get me wrong. It's funny when it happens.
It does ruin the second round game because you just know that this
team just gets wiped.
Fairleigh Dickinson had no shot last
year. Yeah, UMBC gave it a little run, but no match for Kansas State.
There was something really special in watching Houston last night just tell some bums, get out of this tournament. We don't respect you. We don't have the time for you. Get launched to outer space. Goodbye.
Yeah, like these were classic 116 games yesterday and the day before. Like Carolina 90-62, Houston 86-46, UConn 91-52. That's the stuff I kind of missed a little bit.
A couple of 40 pieces in there is really nice. And that's what Purdue, that's what you like to see.
Purdue hangs around with Grambling for a little bit.
Yeah, they
end up winning by 28. But if you remember the year after when Virginia won, I forget who they played in the first round. For some reason, I want to say it was Colgate, but I know it's not Colgate that they played. But the next year, they almost lost, too, in the 116 when they ended up going on to win. And it was like, oh, no, is this going to happen to Virginia again?
I do remember that. Like, early they were down.
Gardner-Webb. They ended up only winning by 15, but they beat Gardner-Webb. But they were down early in that game.
Yeah, Purdue was tricking around with Grambling for a little too long the other night. But yeah, whatever. I took a little pride. I miss the days, I think, NIL, not NIL maybe as much, but the transfer portal, certainly.
I think NIL, like, think about Carolina's win. That's probably a lot of NIL has to do with it. You bring in some of these guys, and you get guys like Armando Bacot to stay for 4 years. You get R.J. Davis for a longer period of time, too. NIL, I think, certainly plays a factor in some of these. UConn brings back 3 starters. Houston brings back a bunch of starters from the year before. I feel like NIL has a little something to do with it.
Well, I meant even on the other side of, like, transfer portal and the access to players and players having the ability to make a little money wherever they are affords opportunities for some of these worst schools and mid-major, not worse, but you get the point, in these mid-major schools and lower conferences to come in as 16 seeds and just play a little tighter. Yeah. Obviously, the existence of Overtime Elite and G League Ignite, rest
which,
in peace.
By the way, yeah, I think that was a big win for college basketball.
Those things took away top NBA talent everywhere except Kentucky, so, like, you just looked at some of the point spreads this year, and it's a dumb thing for me to miss, but when I see 116s all being lined in the 20s, I feel like these are a little more competitive than I'm used to.
Yeah.
I remember the good old days. Potsy's Jayhawks used to get the number one overall seed, be a 38.5-point favorite in the opening game.
Oh, yeah.
That's our beautiful game.
Yeah.
I want a 16 seed that knows they're going to get shelled. I might actually be with you. I might be over the 16 seed
upset.
I'm
done with it. I don't want it.
I just want to see these clowns get launched.
Did you see the line on the South Carolina women's game yesterday? I don't even know who they played.
I saw they didn't cover by like a half point.
54.5.
I was going to say 55.5. I wish you would have let me guess.
I think they won by 53 or something like that, too.
That's what I want. I want a little more of that. Anyway, getting into a little bit more of what took place over the first couple of weeks, I think we start with some of these upsets here, too. Oakland, Kentucky, a game that your father was in attendance for as a proud Golden Grizzly, your wife, a proud Golden Grizzly. That was, I'm sure, an awesome moment for them. And then the game yesterday, Yale and Auburn. Auburn has that one dead to rights. They have that thing locked up. But they let Yale sort of hang around and hang around and hang around. And then all of a sudden, the Bulldogs take the lead. Auburn is given every opportunity to tie this game up. And they just keep falling on their face. It was a cartoon type of ending for Auburn there.
The way that, like, okay, how many 90-foot fouls and missed free throws can one team have? Honestly.
I don't know.
Honestly. Like, every time Yale would get the ball, and it was like immediate backcourt foul, you have time on the clock.
Yeah.
We do not need to be giving up 90-foot fouls right now. Earth to Bruce Pearl. Figure it out, man. I don't know why. You know what? If I'm going to get on the airwaves of this show and I'm going to trash guys like Shaka Smart and Rick Barnes, mm-hmm. who took care of business in the first round,
yeah,
and trust somebody like Bruce Pearl, if I ever do it again, just walk over here, punch me right in the nose. I don't know what I was thinking. He's got Mazzara out there just throwing an elbow at somebody at midcourt. Clear flagrant. Mm-hmm. I didn't think it should have been an ejection, but you're playing with fire when you choose to do something that dumb. And then at the end of the game, it's 90-foot fouls, missed free throws, zero clutch gene. How many offensive boards can you get and do nothing with?
Boy, how about the SEC, too, in general? Like, what? The SEC pulled a Big Ten act in this tournament. When you look at The only teams remaining now are Alabama and A&M. Like, they got wiped out quickly.
It goes to show, like, dude, they have a lot of talent in the SEC, but they don't play defense. I mean, like, we knew last night, Bama, like, they were going to put up 100 points. Florida, you need to put up 90 points to beat them, and we saw that happen. It's SEC plays no defense, and, you know, I was one of the people that was wrong. I thought this conference was the number one in the nation over the Big 12, but I don't think so anymore, man. Big 12 has looked pretty good, except for BYU.
Alabama scored 109 points and was two buckets away from not covering a spread. Yeah. Like, that's just, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You score 109 points in a tournament game in the first round, I would assume you won by 60, not 109-96.
Right. I mean, that game, that was, and they were in control pretty much that entire game as well, pretty much outside of the first 4 to 6 minutes of that game. But, yeah, it's been a tough show for the SEC so far in that Auburn-Yale game. I don't think I've ever seen a team choke a game like Auburn did without actually having the lead in, like, the final 2 minutes.
I told you, I think what Auburn did was actually a worse choke job than what Nevada did.
And it was up 17.
Nevada blew a 17-point lead in what felt like 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But Auburn, I've never seen a team get more chances to win a game. They spring out to this 8-point lead kind of late second half, and it's feeling like, okay, played with their food a little too long, but they're going to get this dub. And then it's like, here comes Yale, and Yale just takes control of the game. At the end, I will say the officiating was in question a little bit. It felt like Auburn was getting hosed quite a bit. But when you're giving up 90-foot fouls, what am I supposed to do for you?
Right.
It just, everything they did was so dumb.
They found, I mean, it was the missed free throws at the end. You were given the gift of the whistles at the end and given every opportunity to go to the line and tie that game up and take it to overtime. And if you take it to overtime, you probably win the game. And you just, they weren't just missed. They were bad misses at the free throw line. Like, that's not the type of shot you'd expect coming out of the hands for a free throw in crunch time down at the end of the game.
I have a question for both of you. You need the player to succeed. If they don't, you die. Your life is on the line.
Oh, okay.
Okay, here we
Getting
go.
Getting extreme here at 8:13 in the morning.
This is it. This is, would you rather? You got to pick one.
Would you rather live or die?
If they miss, you die. If they make, you live. College kid free throw, college kid 35-yard field goal. Which one? Which one are you rolling the dice with?
They're just kids. Just kids. Oh, geez. I'll go with the field goal, right, dude? Like, am I?
Do I get to pick my hash?
Yeah, the factor of the wind, all of it.
I get to like kneel down for the hash?
Yeah. You can center the ball.
No, screw that. I'm taking the free throw.
I was thinking this last night. I'm watching all these games, like, you know, and it's just brick free throw, brick free throw, brick free throw.
I could never understand how, like, I don't even know, man. Like, Auburn, how many chances did they have? They went, like, 1 for 5, 1 for 6 or something like that in their last 6.
Yeah.
That's horrible. That cannot happen, especially with a team as good as Auburn. That, it just cannot happen. You're asking to lose at that point.
Auburn is a 75% free throw shooting team. That's
good.
65th in the country. And then yesterday they missed 7. Like, That's what happened. That's how you lose games in the tournament, is when you play out of character, and missing free throws is out of Auburn's character. Because both you and I, when we did the selection show on Sunday, we were saying how you look at Auburn and it kind of feels like they have the recipe to go out there and really be a strong team in this tournament. You had them as their champ. I had them in the Final Four.
Johnny Broom playing like one of the best players in America for a while.
This Auburn team had all the momentum in the world down the stretch. They dominated the SEC tournament. And then they go out there and just lay an egg.
Top 10 offensive and defensive efficiency.
They were missing bunnies.
The thing that really annoys me about this one, it just felt like the correct kind of sexy pick for bracket pools. If you just wanted to fire kind of a contrarian champion through and hope you pick up some points at the end. Auburn felt so clearly like, I really am seeing it. And then they lose to effing Yale.
They were ranked fourth in KenPom. Fourth! As a four seed.
They
were one of the severely most underseeded teams in the entire field.
They genuinely profiled exactly the way UConn did a year ago.
Yes.
Underseeded, top 10 offensive defensive efficiency, top 5 overall in KenPom.
But somehow a four seed.
Honestly, maybe that's what screwed them, because they shouldn't have been playing a team as good as Yale. Not that Yale's great shakes, but... look, you lose to a 14 seed, 13 seed, whatever. I'm not going to have a ton of sympathy for you. Just hit your free throws. I do think I wish I had my crystal ball that Mazzara was going to get booted in the first half. That would have helped. Maybe I definitely wouldn't have been so confident. I certainly wouldn't have laid 13.5 points with them. Can you tell I'm a little burnt by this one?
Yeah.
I went through a bloodbath yesterday.
Now you're in a different perspective for the rest of this tournament now.
I will say,
You're freed from the shackles of the bracket.
There is a certain freedom in your bracket going down. There's a freedom that comes out of it, because now I can bet just whatever I want. I don't have to worry about going against my bracket. I can root for whoever I want. Go green. There's a lot of freedom that opened up when Auburn went down. I was really angry, and then I realized the bright side was I just get to enjoy the tournament now.
Yeah. 312-332-3776. If you want to join us here, it's Basketball U. We'll take all your phone calls if you want to talk tournament with us and break down a few more games as well. And also, special guest as well when we come back. All that coming up next. It's Basketball U, brought to you by Riverfront Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and buy at riverfront.com.
This is Tyler and Shay.
Tyler and Shay.
I know you're going to dig this.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
We'll get to our picks in about 15 minutes from now. It's Basketball U, brought to you by Riverfront Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and buy at riverfront.com. The upset of Thursday of the tournament, which I have dubbed the perfect day of tournament basketball, was the Oakland Golden Grizzlies taking down
the
Kentucky Wildcats, 80-76. And the hero of that tournament was Jack Golke. Off the bench, I don't think a lot of people realize, off the bench, might I add, he goes 10 of 20 from three and just is lights out for the entirety of that game. And you have some family ties to the Oakland program.
That's right.
A, your wife played volleyball there. I didn't realize your wife played volleyball there.
Alumni, yeah.
So you've got your alum wife, and also your father... not only an alumni of the Oakland Golden Grizzlies.
This guy drove to Pittsburgh to go to the game.
And he is with us now here on Basketball U. Good morning to the one and only Mr. Norling. How are you?
Keith, how we doing?
I'm good, guys. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Of course. So how was that? What sparked the, you know what, I'm going to make the drive to Pittsburgh?
Yeah, well, it's not very, you know, when you go to a small mid-major school, it's not very often you get to see your alma mater, you know, play anything on that level of stage. So 4.5-hour drive was kind of a no-brainer, and my buddy and I got in the car and headed to Pittsburgh.
I was so happy. I cannot believe you saw a win. Blow up your spot. You called me from the arena. I think you were in tears. And you're just like screaming, oh, my God. It was incredible.
Yeah, it was. You know what it reminded me of? Say, it reminded me of the 06 divisional playoff game that you and I went to with when the Tigers eliminated the Yankees. You know, it's like for as often as Oakland plays on that level, you know, in that arena at that level, it was like winning the national championship. As far as I was concerned, we won the national championship. The rest is just gravy. Whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, it's the same thing as Fairleigh Dickinson knocking off Purdue. Like, you don't, right. You're going to get creamed in the second round. Now, I don't know that Oakland's going to get creamed in the second round. Yeah, I actually think Oakland can win today. But
yeah.
Right.
Yep. You've taken care of business already.
Yeah, exactly. The rest is gravy. Now, it was like we won the national championship, and the best thing was we were surrounded by Kentucky fans. There was four people behind us who were local Pittsburgh people, and their only tie to Oakland was Robert Morris University because they're in the Horizon League. Mm-hmm. Everyone else around us was Kentucky, and let's just say they weren't happy.
So how much of that arena is A, Kentucky fans, B, Oakland fans, and then C, because it's sessions, right? You get multiple games when you buy the ticket. And how much of the third sector was fans who just wanted to see the upset?
Well, it's kind of funny because, you know, it started out, we were exponentially outnumbered by Kentucky fans, just to begin with. I mean, there was way more Kentucky fans.
They travel well.
So it started out, Big Blue, and and everybody was Kentucky. But, you know, as the game went on and it became clear that Oakland, you know, was going to be in this, the Kentucky fans got quiet, and I'd say probably, you know, 30% maybe started picking up on Oakland. You know, anyone not affiliated with Kentucky started, you know, picking up the Let's Go Oakland chant and was getting behind Oakland. So it was really cool to see and be a part of. It was just so cool.
That's the point where, like, if you're there for the night game, if you're an NC State fan and you're just in the building because you get tickets to both games, you root for the upset. You're rooting for Cinderella what. Because I was going to say, every time Jack Golke hit a three, watching on TV, I was like, boy, is it loud for these guys.
Exactly.
And that's a small student section that was getting hyped. No offense, Dad, but like, that was a tiny student section.
Yeah, it was pretty small, but they were pretty vocal, and I think that was a big part of getting the rest of the crowd going. So towards the end, it was, there was, anyone not affiliated with Kentucky was definitely behind Oakland. And like I said, it was like we won the national championship. So that was really cool.
So what number three had to fall for when Jack Golke's going crazy? He hits 10 threes in this game. After which number three were you like, all right, this could actually happen today?
The one right before halftime where he put it in off of the glass on almost an impossible shot.
Yeah. That's the one.
You know, if he can hit that and then cross your fingers and hope that continues in the second half. And, you know, then when he hit the first one in the second half, it was like, okay, we're in this. This could really happen.
It was pretty early for me. There was one, he's like on the
fall away.
Yes. When he's coming up right above the break and he's coming off like a curl screen, just catch, falling backwards to his left and hit it. And I'm like, I think they might just win this game.
Because,
like, this is unreal. Yeah.
That's how March Madness goes, though, is you see some of these guys hit certain shots and have certain performances, and you're like, you know what? These guys don't lose when that shot falls.
Right.
Well, when you see a white boy looks like he should be a lawyer start cooking Kentucky, you're like, okay, the magic is in the building tonight.
That's
the way it's going to. All right, so what's the expectation? Today you got NC State, the big vaunted 14-11 matchup. You're not going to need 10 threes out of Jack Golke. He's probably not going to hit 10 threes, but the rest of the team could play.
They're a bad 3-point defense.
The rest of the team could play up. Maybe Rocket Watts won't get in some foul trouble. I don't know how he went from Michigan State to Mississippi State to Oakland, but here we are. What do you think? Is Oakland going to get the victory today against NC State?
I think the key is they have to find a way to stop Burns. If they can stop Burns, I mean, because obviously Oakland doesn't have the size to deal with someone like Burns. So if they can find a way to stop Burns, then I think the NC State game Thursday night, which we stayed for as well, You know, it was clear that you can get into his head. So that might be the way that they get him out of it. But the risk is, by doing that, the risk is piling up the fouls. So I think that's going to be the key, is if they can stop Burns, they have a chance.
What's your pick?
I'm going with Oakland. Got to.
There we go.
Yeah, love it. Love it. Real quick, before we let you go, so you've been riding this sports fever dream all year long. I mean, your right. Lions go to the NFC Championship.
Yeah, right?
Oakland knocks off Kentucky.
It's the year of Keith.
What do you think? A little Tigers to win the AL Central this year?
Yeah, hey, absolutely. I'd be all over that. Might be a bit of a long shot, but yeah, let's go with that.
Good omens for Keith. Everything's yeah, coming right? up Keith this year. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, right?
The one and only Keith Norling. Thanks for making some time for us today, and good luck to your Golden Grizzlies later.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, see you. Go Grizzlies.
See you later.
That Bye. Was a lot of fun. That is like pure sports enjoyment right there. Is just having those moments in your memory bank. And not just that, like, it's one thing to watch on TV, but it's another thing to, you know what, our team hasn't been in the tournament in over a decade. Why don't we make the quick little drive over to Pittsburgh and go to the game? And then you're going to the game with the intent of thinking, like, oh, maybe they can be a little competitive, but you're playing Kentucky.
Right.
Who knows? Like, probably not going to win. And then not only do you win, but you see a historic performance as well on top of that. Like, that's the fun stuff.
That's the best thing about it, is like Jack Golke has become the most popular player in the tournament.
He's awesome, dude.
The Cinderella ride is even better when you're the Cinderella that's like America has huddled around you. Did you guys see? It was the most watched opening round tournament game since 2019, I think.
Oh, really?
So, 3.6 million average viewers, Oakland and Kentucky, most watched in 5 years for the first round on CBS. I was shocked by that. Oakland Grizzlies, America's team. And then, how about today, we get Jack Golke and DJ Burns. The two most popular players in the tournament right now, like would argue.
Two cult figures square off. And that's what's going to make today great.
Storybook.
Right. That's why this tournament is the absolute best. All right. When we come back, we'll get to our picks for today. And then we've also got a parlay to craft as well. It's Basketball U on ESPN 1000.
This is Tyler and Shay on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Basketball U brought to you by Riverfront Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and buy at riverfront.com. So we were debating whether or not we were going to pick the whole slate. Not just today's games, but also tomorrow's games. We're tossing back and forth, and then Potsy, what do you say? What do you say?
Dude, we only get to talk about this once a year.
Damn right.
Let's
do the
whole slate.
Way to embrace the moment.
Let's do the whole slate. Oh, stop it.
What do we got today?
All right, boys. Let's start off with the first game of the day. Arizona versus Dayton. Arizona, the 2 seed. Dayton, the 7 seed. Arizona's -9.5.
I have two big things here. I think Arizona is a streaky team. They have been all season. I also think Dayton should have been, like, they had a bullet through their body and somehow got back up off the mat and won that game. They might really be bad. I'm going to lay it. I don't like it, but I'm going to lay it with Arizona.
Listen, if Arizona wins, they will cover. And that's how I feel. I do think Arizona wins, thus they cover. So give me the Cats and the 9.5.
I'm with you, Aki, on that one. I think if they win, they cover. So I'll go Zona here on the 9.5. All right, wow. I did not know this was the second game of the day, but we got
out of the shoe, man.
Zags in Kansas. Zags are 4.5.
2 o'clock, right?
Yeah, we got 2:15. Zags are -4.5 in this game. What are we doing?
I don't get this.
I don't either. I don't get how Gonzaga's favored by 4. And part of me wants to lean into it. The other part of me is just like, Kansas is the right side here, and it's clear. And then I looked at some of the numbers. The betting public is on Gonzaga. The money is on the Jayhawks.
Love
Rock,
it.
Chalk, Jayhawks win outright.
I'm with you. Keep your points. Like, I really like what I saw out of Kansas in that Samford game. Mm-hmm. I know they almost choked it away at the end. By the way, how about our Unity play? I loved our Unity play on Thursday night.
Awesome. That was beautiful.
Zed
was
sends beautiful. Us a little same game parlay, and Potsy goes Daywon Harris to hit a three. And we're like, you know what? Let's all ride in Unity here. And it hit. It was a little dicey, but it hit.
It was dicey, ended up hitting. It was never not going to hit. But yeah, I got the Jayhawks in this game. Obviously, I'm going to take them +4.5. And you know what? You can keep your points. I'm going money line as well for the Jayhawks. Yeah, dude, we looked really good versus Samford. We dropped 93 points. We let up a little bit at the end, but hey, Samford, they hit their shots. Got to give them credit. Kansas, dude, we match up great versus the Zags. I don't think Graham Ike's really all that good. Like, he's a good player, but he's not better than Hunter Dickinson. He's not better than KJ Adams. So I got the Jayhawks in this one. Moving on, Michigan State. Wow, back to back. First me, then Shea. Michigan State, North Carolina. Now, this is the weirdest line of the day, I think, by far. Shea, I want to start with you because it seems like you've been back and forth all week. North Carolina's only 3.5. Only
three. Excuse me, 3.5?
Yes.
It moved off of 4?
It is 3.5.
I'm
going to
tell you one thing. I entered, when the line came out and I saw the 4, I was like, this is a North Carolina slaughterhouse kind of game. Like, they're going to just murder us. And as I've done a little more reading, a little more digging, and a little more watching what's happening with the money and the number, number's 3.5, really?
Yeah, it's 3.5.
Keep them. Sparty's winning. Oh, go green.
Oh, no.
They look good. I mean, both teams are fantastic metrics-wise. I mean, in MSU, they do match up well. They do.
Elite defensively. If they can hit their shots the way they hit their shots against Mississippi State, they'll win the game.
For you, I'll go Spartan, Shea.
Let's go!
What are you doing, Aki?
Unity, come on!
I'm the bad guy.
You are such a POS! I knew you would do it, you little Carolina... I want to call you another C-word, and you know what it is, but... Wow.
That was my team growing up. Carolina.
Isn't it your champion, too?
It's my champion.
Yeah, it's your champion.
And I am also a conference over team guy as well.
Oh, get the F out of here. And you're listen, rooting dude, for the ACC?
That bit me in the behind round one. I did the exact strategy, SEC all, over Big Ten.
All these clowns out here are fading the ACC all round one. Guess what happened? The ACC proved they still are the superior conference in the country. And that's why I'm rolling with the Tar Heels.
All right. We got Iowa State -6.5 versus Washington State.
I really don't know what to do with this game at all.
Perplexed. Washington State is one of the most fundamentally sound teams that you will find in the entire sport. Going up against Iowa State, who games in Omaha, so that clearly favors Iowa State. That is one of the best traveling fan bases as well. I think it doesn't get enough credit for how well they travel. Would you say 6.5?
Yeah, 6.5.
I'll go Washington State.
My problem with Wazoo is the same problem I have with Dayton. Wazoo was dead. Drake choked.
Yeah.
You're down 8 minutes, couple minutes to go. Now, you can ride that a little bit. In that you were dead, and now you can play free.
You're playing with house money. Yeah.
And I hate Iowa State. Go Cougs.
I'm not a fan of either of these teams. I had Iowa State actually losing this round to Drake.
I have them losing to Wazoo.
Yeah, so I'll go Wazoo plus the points. I think Cyclones win, though.
Dogs are barking today, boys.
Yeah. Dogs are barking. All right, how about NC State, Oakland? I would say the
go
game
Grizzlies,
of the day.
Keep them. I don't care.
This is the most fun game of the day.
Don't care.
Six and a half NC State.
Dude, you want the basketball reasons? I can give them to you. NC State's going to be all DJ Burns. Do I think Oakland can stop DJ Burns? Probably not. But can NC State prep for some funky, weird mid-major 1-3-1 zone that you're going to see one time all year and you get a day to prep for it?
I love the zone.
That's a bitch. Uh-huh. Like, to me, at Oakland, can you just hit some shots? I don't need Jack Golke to go 10-20 again.
They had a different guy go 3-for-3.
Yeah, can Trey Townsend play? That DJ kid, whatever the hell, can he play? DQ Cole, whatever his name is.
Uh-huh.
I think Oakland can win this game straight up. I'm going to go with the Grizzlies.
I'm going to take the Grizzly points as well in this game. I think we've talked about it. The two cult heroes are in this game. It's DJ Burns and Jack Golke. And when you've got that recipe, You've got a pretty fun setup for you here. I'm going to go with Oakland.
I'll go Oakland as well. Keep the Cinderella story going. I guess they both could be Cinderellas. I'll go Oakland, though, here. Moving on, we got Tennessee versus Texas. Tennessee's minus 6.5. I'll start with this one, guys. I have Texas winning this straight up. Straight up. No. So I'm going to take them points, and I would say sprinkle on that money line.
Lock in, you and me, buddy.
Up. Let's go.
Rick Barnes. We're fading Rick Barnes. Lock in, Potsy. Go Horns.
I'm on the other side of this one. Mm. I think that Texas is a bad team. I've said it all year long.
They're not good.
And Tennessee, I think defensively, is just going to choke this team out. Give me the SEC,
man. The SEC has fallen on its face.
But guess what? This team took care of business. The teams that took care of business took care of business. I'm rolling with the Vols.
We'll see. It's going to be a good one for sure. We got Illinois versus Duquesne in this. Illinois 10.5 after a Duquesne team. Dude, they looked elite on defense.
You and Cap cut the juice on this one.
Yep. I got a $50 bet with Cap. I'm taking the 10.
I remember.
10.
I recall.
Put an extra L in Illinois.
Dukes. I'll go Dukes here as well. Too many points. Illinois wins by 8.
Illinois looked really good.
Yeah, they're playing really good ball, good. Too.
Terrence Shannon's probably the best downhill point guard I've ever seen. Like, dude can just...
I'm going to take Illinois in this game. Like, Duquesne feels like the fever dream. All right, we're just happy to be here, and then we get whacked in the second round team to me. So give me Illinois.
All right, how about this one? This could be a sneaky upset in a possible bracket breaker for me. Creighton minus 4.5 versus the Oregon Ducks, dude. The Ducks looked fantastic.
Another great
in their
game.
First round, and they match up surprisingly really well versus Creighton.
I got one big philosophy when it comes to gambling, and I'm sure you remember it. What do we do when we see a public dog? Put him out. Creighton, this number does not make sense to me in a way where I'm going to lean into it. The drop from 7 to 5, contrarian, buy low, I'm all Blue Jays. I'm laying it.
I'm Blue Jays, too. Give me Creighton.
Same here. I mean, Oregon's outside the top 40 in both efficiency metrics as well. Give me Creighton. I love this Creighton team.
Awesome. Okay, moving on. This is now we're on the Sunday games. We got Marquette versus Colorado. Marquette's only 3.5, dude. I had Marquette losing this round, but I didn't have it against Colorado. But, dude, the Buffs, they got a great, great team. A bunch of star players.
That 3.5 point spread's a screamer. Colorado's going to win this game.
Yes, outright. I'm with you.
It looks like clean sweep here. We're all on Colorado to win outright.
KenPom has it as a 2-point game.
Yeah, I think Colorado, this is, you know what? It's a year ago today, Marquette, Michigan State, where you've got the 7-seed Michigan State team coming up against a 2-seed Marquette, and it was like a 2.5 point spread. I'm like, buddy, MSU's winning that game.
Yeah.
This is the same deal.
All right, how about Utah State versus Purdue? Purdue's 11.5 favorites.
I think I'm going to lay it with Purdue.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I think last night was more about TCU just not showing up to play ball than it was about Utah State
TCU
playing some great game.
TCU was in control of that first half, like a good portion of that first half, too. So I'm with you guys. I'm going to lay it with Purdue.
All right, how about James Madison versus Duke? Duke is 7.5. I kind of thought this would be a little closer of a spread. But Duke is getting 7.5 here.
Keep your points.
Oh, my.
The Dukes will take down Duke.
I like that. I like that play. I'm with you as well, Aki. I got James Madison.
I would love to join you. Unfortunately, the Dukes are an incredibly public dog with the early money. Old Yeller. Duke's putting them out, man. I'm sorry. I got to lay the points with Duke.
All right. We got Clemson-Baylor in our next game. A Clemson team that I feel like everybody had losing in their first game versus New Mexico.
And that is why you do not doubt the mighty, mighty Atlantic Coast Conference.
This is embarrassing stuff.
Baylor's 4.5.
I mean, this is just shameless.
Baylor's 4.5. What are we doing, guys?
I can't tell
if I love this game or hate this game.
The game's going to be really good.
Do you know the thing that sucks about it is everybody had New Mexico beating Clemson and then also beating Baylor. So, I had Baylor losing this game to a different opponent in my bracket. F it, Clemson.
There you go. Now you're learning.
I'm going Baylor, Big 12.
I got a buddy who's a Clemson fan. Hates Brad Brownell. hates him.
Oh, yeah, you've told me about this guy.
Just would do anything to get Brad Brownell fired. Anything. And this, now he's winning tournament games, and he's like, I don't even care. I hate this. I hate this guy. I wish he was gone.
Are you on Clemson, Aki?
Yeah, I'm going to take Clemson in this game. I think they win outright.
All right, sweet. We got four more games, guys. Let's get through them. We got Grand Canyon versus Alabama. Alabama's only 5.5. Dude, I love GC. I was on him last night. I think Alabama steamrolls them, though.
Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing.
Like this. I already locked in this bet, actually. I have it locked in already. Alabama minus 5.5.
Listen, if Bama shoots like they did last night, they're going to beat everybody in their way.
Grand Canyon won't score 80, 90, 100 points. That's not happening.
Now, Grand Canyon does have a very good offense, but they're not a good three-point shooting team. So, and they don't take a lot of threes either. I think that the Bama Crimson Tide roll here.
All right, Northwestern versus UConn. UConn is 14.5.
You know what? This is one of those numbers where you look at it, and on its face, you just go, pfft.
Yeah.
End up. Mm-hmm. Lean the other way. This UConn team, after what I saw them do to Stetson, I get it, Stetson, who cares? But, like, are they just going to go on another dominance run and bomb everybody in their way to a national title?
Yes.
They might. I'm going to lay the 14.5.
Yes.
I'm going to be on the other side of this one. I thought Northwestern played immaculate, gritty Big Ten basketball yesterday. And they used it to their benefit. And then you get to overtime against FAU, and you just kind of choke them out. I think that they're going to make a couple of hustle plays where it's enough for them to cover the spread. I think this one's inside 10 points.
I love Northwestern. Love them as a team. It's not going to happen here. I think UConn might look at them, no disrespect, but they might look at them as DePaul here, dude, as a conference game.
You know what this matchup reminds me of, though? This reminds me of Northwestern against Purdue.
Oh, sure. You know what?
Very similar.
Good point.
You got a dominant big man. You've got some good guards out there as well. And guess what? Northwestern's beat Purdue this year. They went to overtime twice with Purdue this year. Give me Northwestern.
All right, we got Texas A&M. They're plus 10.5 versus Houston.
Houston's favorite.
Yeah, Cougs are gonna roll.
Me as well. All right, last game here, San Diego State minus 5.5 versus Yale. I thought the spread would be a little larger.
Can I be honest? I don't care.
Yeah, is this the last game Sunday night?
Yeah. This is the last game.
I'm going to bed. I don't really care.
Yeah, and I wouldn't blame you either.
I'm on San Diego State.
I'm going to abstain. I don't even want to pick the game.
I'm going to spite bet Yale.
You are so down bad. You are so down bad.
I'm going to hit the button and go to bed.
You know what? I'll play San Diego State in that game. All right, those are the picks. We'll craft our parlay next on Basketball U.
This is Tyler and Shay on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Thank you to Justin Pottinger for producing today's show. Also, thank you to our friends over at Riverfront Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and buyatriverfront.com. All right, let's whip up a parlay here. Our first tourney parlay, right, among us?
Yeah.
I believe. All right, what do you like? We're going to spread across both days, by the way.
I'm going to kick this off. My favorite play this weekend, I think. The more I look at it, the more I'm thinking about it. It's the Creighton Blue Jays tonight. I don't get where America's head's at with this game. Oregon played great against South Carolina. But to go from 7 to 5, I just feel like this is an incredible buy low up. Can this mic work? This is an incredible buy low opportunity on Creighton. I'm all in. Blue Jays.
I don't think people understand how good Creighton is as a team this year. I really don't. I like that pick from you. I'm going to go to tomorrow. I believe this opens up tomorrow's action. Yes, it does. Colorado and Marquette. You can keep your points. We're going to roll with Buff's money line on this one. Plus 136, Colorado.
I'm going to go Alabama versus GC Grand Canyon. They play tomorrow, not today. So I got Alabama 5.5. They're going to tear this team a new one. They're going to win by 20, 25 points. I'm very confident in this pick. So I got Alabama 5.5 to wrap up the parlay.
All right. You whip it all together, and you get, what are our odds here? Plus 732. is what we're rocking with here.
It's so not bad.
Let's go win a little tournament money, and then we roll it over into the Sweet 16 Elite Eight matchups. I think there's, yeah, this tournament has been great so far. I think it's about as good of a first weekend, first round that we've had, especially as of late, because I feel like it got a little too chaotic last year and even the year before.
Last year ended up kind of not that fun.
Like at the end, yeah. Well, because
UConn was just such a freight train, mm-hmm. and we got no brands and kind of like teams getting
the, this is the best round we get. I think we get today and tomorrow. These games are going to be even better.
Yeah, I really like, aside from that San Diego State Yale game that we absolutely dumped on before we hit
terrible.
The break.
Like that, who wants that?
That one I want no piece of, but every other game I'm very intrigued by, I think, on this board today.
The fact that we're getting Kansas Gonzaga and Michigan State Duke, or Michigan State North Carolina in second round games is fantastic.
Yes, yes. There are a lot of brands squaring off. I mean, you look at today. You get Gonzaga, Kansas, and North Carolina, Michigan State. It doesn't get better than that for the sport.
Is North Carolina, Michigan State a blue blood matchup, or is Michigan State not a blue blood?
No, slowly
no, Michigan
down.
State.
I would not say so. No.
Yeah, I would say. Yeah. How many championships do you have?
I struggle with it.
They're
two.
They're a champion classic team. I'll give them that. That's about it. They're in the tournament with the blue bloods. That's it.
Can we get McGrath in here or something?
That's a douche comment from you, Potsy. That is you on your blue blood high horse.
You know
right
what? But
there.
He can do it because every time we play in a Champions Classic, they just stomp us. So whatever.
Except, dude, my first ever KU game, and then we'll wrap this up, was against Michigan State. Denzel Valentine had a 30-point triple-double, and they beat us.
Yeah.
My first ever KU game.
Oh, boy. All right. That's going to do it for us. The CDGA Golf Show coming up next on ESPN 1000.
This is Tyler and Shay on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.